Greetings, folks. I'm Lamont. This is LS Rules. I had a show on Bleeple.com. That was Monday and Wednesday at 7 p.m. But Bleeple's going on a bit of a hiatus, and I still have content. And while I can't spew it over there, I got this outlet, so I'm gonna spew it here. The premise of my show over on Bleeple was, can the people win? Because I see the news, and I see the things that are happening in the world. And there seems to be the rich, the wealthy, the powerful, and the greedy. And they have certain motivations. And those motivations aren't in our best interest. So let's listen to Stevie talk about evil, and I'll be back.
Evil, why have you engulfed so many hearts? Evil. Why have you destroyed so many minds? Leaving room for darkness, where lost dreams can hide. Evil, why do you infest our purest thoughts with hatred? Evil, why have you stolen so much love, leaving everyone's emotions lost and wandering?
Can the people win? Who's the people? You're the people. I'm the people. If you have zero influence, you're the people. And there's some people that are idiots, right? They're the people, and they don't know they're the people. These people mostly watch Fox News, and they think the GOP is acting in their best interest. My intention is to make it abundantly clear that they are not. Like, people watch Fox News and don't seem to have a problem with the police killing black people and getting away with it like it's nothing. The police have gotten so brazen with their murders that you can't even have a conversation about individual murders without confusing which murder that you and the other person you're talking to are talking about. And now they're getting into genre killings. Like, regular police are so exhausted from murdering black people that they're letting dogs get in on it. Vineland, New Jersey. Cops let a dog eat Philip White's face off, causing him to die. In Tulsa, Oklahoma, that reserve deputy shot Eric Courtney Harris. And when Eric Courtney Harris, in his last breaths, said, "I'm losing my breath," the response of the police officer, not the one that shot him, another one, his response was, "Fuck your breath." Where is there no compassion? Okay. So, by the way, on that Tulsa story, supervisors at the Tulsa County Sheriff's Office were ordered to falsify that reserve deputy's training records, giving him credit for field training he never took and firearm certifications he should not have received. By the way, remember when they shot Walter Scott, the guy who was, I know it's hard to keep up with all these, remember the guy who was running away and the cop fired the 8 shots and shot him to death, and then he tried to plant that taser by him because he said he was going for my gun, going for my taser, what have you? Corruption. How about the story that the Wikipedia edits to the New York police killings page on Wikipedia? The changes to the page are traced back to New York Police Department headquarters. They're killing black people with seemingly no repercussions. And I know what you're saying. Hey, the guy that shot him 8 times, he got charged with a charge that could be disproved. The possibility exists. Now, the likelihood is that it won't because... Well, who knows? Let me stop, because Eric Garner was caught fully on tape and they got away with it. Okay. They can very easily say in court, yes, he shot him to death, but you can't prove it was murder or whatever the charge is, you know, so he can skate. So it ain't a wrap, okay? And on top of doing these things, there's corruption. Murder and corruption is the law and order. So there's that. But then, don't forget, you shoot a black person, you get paid. George Zimmerman got paid. Darren Wilson shot Michael Brown, he got paid. The cop that fired the 8 shots in the back of Walter Scott, killing him, and then planted the taser near his body, they're raising money for him right now. You know that? You know how in Indiana they were having that religious protection, whatever it was, so that, you know, Memories Pizzeria wouldn't have to serve pizza to gay wedding receptions? They got over $800,000 in donations for an impossible scenario. Now, I don't understand the intricacies of Indiana gay wedding ceremonies or receptions, but I'm willing to bet this call never happened. Ring, ring. Hello, Memories Pizzeria. Yeah, this Dante. Me and my boo-boo Peter, we just got gay married. We decided we're going to have some people over. Nothing fancy. But we said, what would set this off right? That's right. Pizza for our wedding reception. So because that call's never going to happen, right? Memories Pizzeria says they're not going to serve pizza to gay wedding receptions. They got over $800,000. Almost $1 million for refusing for hate. There's so much money in hate among these people that don't know that they're the people. So let's talk about who they're following. Now listen, I know that we're in a two-party system. It's Democrats and Republicans. I'm not saying the Democrats are above reproach, okay? But it's kind of a lesser of two evils thing, all right? And it would appear that the GOP, the Republicans, are all about destruction. And there's so many points to prove to back this up. And again, the Democrats are not perfect, but the GOP is evil, okay? Let's look at the 2016 election cycle. So far, announcing that they're going to run for president, we got Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio, yeah? The GOP, just about as white as a KKK rally, is putting the brainwashed Latinos out front, right? This is what it is. Because you know they're trotting out Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio for the sole purpose of making Jeb Bush look totally reasonable by comparison. That's all that is. And anybody is like, we've made progress within the Republican Party, Latinos. No. That's how brainwashed you are. All right. Let's look at Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz's last... when I went up to look up Ted Cruz, the last thing that came up was that he wants to get rid of the IRS. His number one priority is going to be to repeal Obamacare. Now listen, I don't love Obamacare. I don't like that there's a penalty if you're not insured. I don't like that. But I believe that if doctors have the Hippocratic Oath, okay. Doctors, in order to practice, have to take that Hippocratic Oath, right? Where they're going to promise to, whatever, take care of people, what have you, right? I would like to see a system where people that financially benefit from health care should also be beholden to some kind of oath, some kind of higher standard, because they are robbing us. There's people that say, people need health care? I'm going to get rich off of that. That's why we have to have health care insurance, because the price has been driven so far high. Now that there's some kind of system where, what is it, millions of people now have health care insurance. People with pre-existing conditions have insurance, so they make their healthcare more affordable. Because, you know, what is it? When someone announces, hey, we're pregnant, what do you want to be, boy or girl? I don't care, as long as it's healthy. So we're saying that Republicans only care about babies. All right, okay. I'm getting a little fired up. Okay, so what I'm saying is this. Left to their own devices, greedy people have made maintaining your health entirely unaffordable. Now, do you want someone who's in line with allowing the greedy to do whatever they want, reconstructing the healthcare system? Healthcare reform is not a quick and easy process. If we have a new president in office, do you really want him going down that road again? Months and months of times? How about fixing something, not reconstructing some shit? Okay, we're already down this road. So just let it ride, man. Like, do you want President Cruz spending his entire time? It almost hurt me to say that. President Cruz. Ugh. Now, there's a lot of other issues to address. And now, who do you think is going to benefit from a reconstructed Internal Revenue Service? If that's his... Number one is repealing Obamacare. Number two is dismantling the IRS. Who do you think is going to benefit from what he does? Wealthy people in healthcare who clearly have no morals or scruples and have no problem robbing us all blind as we try to get healthy. And then, who do you think is going to benefit from the IRS being reconstructed? Sure as crap ain't going to be me and you, middle class and broke people. It's going to be only the wealthy, man. Marco Rubio. Marco Rubio from Florida. This piece of shit. Listen. Here's a quick rundown of some of the facts about Marco Rubio. He voted against equal pay between men and women. He voted against equal pay. He voted against relief for Hurricane Sandy victims. Remember that in New Jersey, New York? And it was I got family up there in Coney Island, and one of my aunt's houses was pretty much trashed. He voted against relief for Hurricane Sandy victims. Natural disaster. This wasn't like, this is a natural disaster. He's like, no, they don't need help. Because you know the insurance, well, yeah, it's, you know, and I know, and it's a fact. The insurance companies were not, they were looking for every reason to not pay people. And they found it in a lot of cases. So he didn't want to help Hurricane Sandy victims. Marco Rubio, okay? He also doesn't believe in global warming. Antarctica, you know. The frozen continent had its warmest, just a cup, literally about a month ago from the time of this recording, had its warmest recorded day in history. And like in the history of the planet recorded, since it's been recorded, Antarctica had its warmest day ever. And this guy does not believe in global warming. He also fought to restrict access to birth control. I shouldn't say fought like it's a past tense thing. He fights and continues to fight to restrict access to birth control. Because we gotta birth all these babies into a world where people can't afford to have them or take care of them. He voted to send all money from the BP oil spill fines to Washington instead of to the impacted coastal states. So like instead of sending it to Louisiana and all the people on the coast down there who are directly affected, he's like, no, let's filter it through a system so people can get their beaks wet, as they say. He opposed raising the minimum wage. Now, mind you, right now, there's a thing for McDonald's employees, at least in Miami, I don't know if it's nationwide, they're down here protesting, saying they want to be paid $15 an hour to work at McDonald's. Listen, you can barely live off the salary at McDonald's, but if I ever go into McDonald's and you can't get my order straight because you don't speak English, you don't deserve more money. If you want to be paid more money, you better go to an ESL, English as a second language class. You better get my order right. If you ain't doing that, you ain't getting my support. F you. Yeah. No comprende. Bitch. Okay. So he opposes the minimum wage. It was confirmed. Now, I don't even understand how he's still serving. I don't understand how he's not been shamed or locked up. But basically, Marco Rubio took in $210,000 in illegal contributions He was fined $8,000. Now, I don't know if he got to keep $210,000. But an $8,000, like, this is $210,000 of illegal contributions they could find. You know there's more than that. So if there's more than that, $8,000, it's like, oh, I have these illegal contributions. Let me give you the $8,000 out of these other illegal contributions you didn't find. This is a guy who takes illegal contributions. And he's like, oh, I want my America back. We're Republican. We're right. No, you're filthy. And I'm not saying no Democrat does it. I'm just saying this specific idiot did it. And I should say, does it. Anyway. He opposes gun purchase background checks, which is supported by 91% of Floridians, by the way. So that means make it easier. Arm everybody. Which is ironically going to be interesting because we're going to need guns when the police decide they're just going to roll assault vehicles down main streets and with assault rifles mounted on them. But okay, we'll cross that bridge. Anyway, he voted against job training programs for veterans. Weird. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your service. Hope you're going to be. I'm glad you're a soldier because you're on your own. Ain't nothing I'm going to do to help you. All right. He voted against Violence Against Women Act. If you vote against the Violence Against Women Act, does that mean you're for violence against women? Okay, now I've said all bad things that Marco Rubio's done. Maybe I should mention something good that he's done. He did secure $20 million for a hospital. Now that's a good thing. Granted, the hospital's going to overcharge everyone for their services, but hey, people have the opportunity to be... Oh, wait a second. He earned $8,000 a month as their consultant. Okay, this $8,000 seems to be a theme with Marco Rubio. So he took in $210,000 for illegal contributions. I don't know if he got to keep it or not. Let's say he had to give it back. But he had to pay $8,000 for taking it. But then he earned $8,000 a month as a consultant to get this hospital built. So basically, zero repercussions for illegal activities. So there's that. Now, it's a safe bet that neither Ted Cruz or Marco Rubio are going to be the GOP candidate. These extremists are being trotted out, like I said, to make Jeb Bush look rational by comparison. And Jeb Bush is going to be a tough one to beat, especially since the Koch brothers have openly announced that they're spending over $1 billion to influence the 2016 election cycle. Now, they announced $889 million, like, out in the open, but that's likely not all that they're going to spend. And then, plus, you got other donors, so this is easily over $1 billion to push forward this evil agenda. Okay? Now let's say you don't care about any of that stuff. Let's get into something that affects your day-to-day life. Something that you may or may not take for granted. Something you may appreciate, may not appreciate. Me personally, I enjoy water. There's a reason I moved to Miami, because I wanted to be close to the beach. Like, I love going to the beach. I love water. I love drinking a nice, cool glass of water. I love it. I love showers. I love baths. I like going to, like, a spa. And just being around, like, in, like, the water features and all that stuff. I love it. I love water. Now, can you imagine not having clean drinking water? Like, can you imagine having to be in America and, like, you know in India when they have, like, that brown river? What is it, the Ganges? I don't know what it is. But, like, that brown river where everybody's in there and kids are playing and going to the bathroom in it. People are washing their clothes. Do you want that in America? Seems like that's the road that we're heading towards. I'm just saying. Like, it's so... And I know it's extreme and it's absurd for me to say that. But you're not going to believe it until we actually get there. So let's go to a corporate leader. The Nestle chairman, Peter Brabeck-Letmathe. I don't know. Peter Brabeck-Letmathe. Look it up. I don't know. His name's Peter. But basically, his quote... This is the chairman of Nestle. His quote is that water is not a human right and it should be privatized. Water. Like, you know, that stuff that covers most of the planet. This is a corporate guy saying that water should not be a right to you as an individual. Like, forget about your right as a citizen. Let's talk about your right as a human being on the planet. Let's get down to the basics of A. We are all on this planet. We are all people on this planet. The planet provides certain resources. And there's people that want to privatize these resources. And this guy wants to privatize water. Your water. This is a guy whose company, Nestle, gets $35 billion in annual profits from water bottle sales. And he doesn't give a damn about your ability to drink clean drinking water. This is where the GOP is coming from. This is where Republicans are coming from. There are lobbyists in D.C. right now, literally right now, getting paid to throw money around. Okay, that's two bits of money in that one little bit. They're getting paid to throw money around for corporations' ability to filthy America's clean drinking water supply. And this isn't something that we're going to have to deal with in the future. California, right now, like today, as of the day I'm recording this, California has drought situations, near drought situations. They're on water conservation, mandatory water conservation in California, in America, a first world country. This is not something that's going to happen in like some dystopian future. This is ahora, right now. Su agua ahora es una problema. All right. So that's not a problem. Let's get inside the GOP. Let's get inside these Republican Party. What's going on internally? Did you hear about the Missouri Republican suicides? This isn't something that happened a couple of years ago. This isn't something that happened fiction. This is real life. This happened. Okay. January 28th, Tom Schweik announces that he's running for governor of Missouri. March 29th, just about 2 months later, he was found dead in his house. How'd he die? Self-inflicted gunshot wound. Man killed himself. He had a wife and two kids. Now, what happened in those 2 months? That's the question. Now, this is what's known. I'm sure there's stuff that's under the table, stuff you'll never know about, but here's what's known. There was a whisper campaign enacted by the Missouri Republican Party chairman to spread false information about Tom Schweik being Jewish in an attempt to damage his gubernatorial campaign. Now, here's the thing. You're dealing with a bunch of people who, upon hearing this guy is Jewish, would not give him money. This is the type of people that we're dealing with in the Republican Party. People would be deterred from donating to his campaign because he might be Jewish. And then it was so powerful a shot to be called Jewish that the guy killed himself. Little scumbaggy to me. Anti-Semitism in Missouri. Okay, but there's more. There's more to this story. Okay, by the way, the guy who's the Missouri Republican Party chairman is named John Hancock. This is his statement that he put out after all this happens. Okay, here's the statement. Tom Schweik believed that I had a meeting with donors on behalf of Catherine Hanaway, who was going to be his opponent, and telling them that Tom was Jewish, when in fact, Senator Danforth explained Tom was Episcopalian. Now, I informed Senator Danforth that I mistakenly had believed Tom was Jewish, but cannot remember a single instance of relaying that to anyone in particular, and I strongly denied having done so with any malicious intent, as such a thing is not consistent with my character. I assured him that I would not make such a mistake in the future. There is one statement in his statement that completely makes the entire statement bullshit. When he says, with any malicious intent. Now, here's the thing. He very easily is stating that he could have told some people that this guy, Tom Schweik, was Jewish. But he says that he didn't do it with malicious intent. Now, this then goes into that, what do you define malicious? Like, maybe he considered it, I was just playing the game. But the bottom line is a man decided that he was going to kill himself, left the wife and kids behind. Now, 1 month later, Spence Jackson, a spokesman, like the right-hand guy to Tom Schweik, he killed himself too. That's right, he took his own life. Now, he was a single guy. But he left a suicide note behind saying that he couldn't take being unemployed again. Yeah, he shot himself about a month later. single gunshot wound to the head. Now, here's the thing. I don't know. Maybe there was some kind of sex tape between these two guys. Who knows? I don't know. But the bottom line is, here's a Republican who shot himself in the head, stating that he couldn't take being unemployed again. But what? We're supposed to just pull ourselves up by the bootstraps? This guy's gainfully employed, living life lovely. Second he faces unemployment, kills himself. Now again, there's probably more to the story. There's usually more to the story. But let's stick with the facts that are presented. He couldn't take being unemployed. The bootstraps, remember that? Pull yourself up by the bootstraps? So why do these unhinged Republican bastards want to control how you live your life? Listen to what they're saying. It's a lot of control about how you should live your life. What happened to freedom? All they talk about are their forefathers. You know the forefathers, the ones, they want their America back. You know the forefathers, the ones with slaves and shitty opinions about the worth of the women folk. Let's look at another country, all right? Let's look at Walmart in the United States. You got the Walton siblings. I think there's, what, four of them worth about, what, over $40 million a piece? So that's like a lot of money, right? Now let's look over at Saudi Arabia, okay? You know, the country that created the 9/11 killers. You know, that country, Saudi Arabia. The Saudi king, Salman bin Abdulaziz Al Saud, okay? A massive $32 billion handout to random citizens. $32 billion. Now, mind you, they're sitting on a lot of oil money. But here's the idea. When you're sitting on money, you distribute it so that it can be spent and build up your economy. Not in America. No. That's why we have the wealthy 1% has been expanded to the wealthy 2%. Okay? Because that group is getting larger. Because they're just sucking all the money. All the money is being taken from us and just placed in mattresses by this 2% that's keeping all the money. Now listen, in Saudi Arabia, all state employees, soldiers, students, and retirees got a little piece. A generous piece, to be honest with you. There were also grants given to various professional associations and literary and sports clubs. The amount of money that people got is pretty much the equivalent of 2 months' pay. Remember that $300 check we got? I don't know about you, how much you got, but when George Bush was like, hey, everybody's going to get a rebate. Hey, how much did you get? I got like $300 if I remember right. It was maybe two and change, like $300. I got $300. In Saudi Arabia, they got 2 months' pay. I could work with 2 months' pay. Dude, 2 months' pay? Do you know how many people's credit cards would go down? Like, even just buying things. People, like, So over in Saudi Arabia, they're treating their people better than they're treating us over here. So, okay. I don't just want to give you the doom and gloom and tell you how evil Republicans are. Because they are. Everyone's allowed to feel what they feel. This is what I feel. I feel the Republican Party has your worst interest at heart. That's what I believe, okay? Now, some other people believe in God. If you believe in the Bible, whether you believe in the Bible, its origins, where it came from, or whatever, there's scripture. It exists, okay? The Bible exists. So here's four little things that God wants you to remember when life is hard. Okay, I got this off of Patheos.com. If you want to look it up yourself, it's titled, Four Things God Wants You to Remember When Life is Hard, okay? Because struggles in life are inevitable, but destruction is optional. Remembering these four principles can make all the difference. Number one, remember that your character should always be stronger than your circumstance. And then they give you a Bible verse that kind of goes along with it. From 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, we can't always control what happens to us, but we can always control how we choose to respond. In those moments when we choose to stop complaining and instead give thanks to God for any good in your life, the parts that seem bad start to seem a lot less significant. Choose to keep a positive attitude and a thankful heart regardless of what you're going through. And I know it's not easy. I know it's not easy. Trust me. For many, many years, I know it's a Marc Maron stand-up bit, but I thought this before I heard him say it. My comforting thought was that no matter how bad it got, I could always kill myself. The thought of just like, no matter how bad it got, I can always ultimately win. I can pull the ultimate trump card. I'm not there anymore. But the bottom line is, like, I have these post-its I put up a couple places in my apartment. Like, this is, it's just for me. I'm not bragging or anything, but it's a fact. Stop complaining. I had to put up stop complaining because these negative thoughts feed you, man. If you eat bad food, you're going to feel bad. If you eat good food, you're feeling better. I know this because I'm not entirely on a totally health diet. Like, I eat a lot of crap. Like, on the way home today, I discovered something really horrible. It's going to be bad. It's these Starbucks chocolate caramel muffins. Oh, my God. It was so good. So good. I'm going to have to go back to a Starbucks just to get... It was delicious. And now McDonald's has these mini bundt cakes. Oh, those, they're not as good as the Starbucks chocolate caramel muffin. But trouble, people. And that's garbage going inside of me. I'm eating these Honeycrisp apples all the time because they're delicious. But they're like $3.99 a pound, $2.99. They're expensive. But anyway, you got to have good thoughts in order to feel good. That's just a fact. I'm not even saying it is possibly. This is I'm attesting to it myself. And I know everyone's not built the same, but if it works for me, then and I'm depressed as shit, then it's okay. All right. Number two. And these four things, by the way, are four things God wants you to remember when life is hard. Number two, remember that your struggles always lead to strength. This is true. Here's the scripture that goes along with it. It comes from Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. Now, here's my church background. I know this is not coming from the King James Bible. This is from some newfangled, some other Bible. Because, when I was coming up, it didn't sound like that. But basically, the message here is every difficulty in your life, whether big or small, is something God will use to produce more strength. Even if you don't believe in God, just use logic, okay? Every time you come out of something, you're a little stronger for it. That's pretty much the gist of it. It's going to be tough. You persevere, you come out on the other side, you're going to be stronger. And if you're dealing with it again, you'll have a little better handle, and it might knock you back again the second time, the third time, the fourth time, but you'll deal with it a little better than you did the first time, and every time you deal with it, it'll be a little easier, a little easier, a little easier. Okay? All right. Number three, remember that God's timing is always perfect. The scripture comes from Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. I don't really know what that scripture means, so the words say, God's plans are almost always different from our plans, but his plans are always perfect. See, this is the one I don't really necessarily go along with. You know, like if somebody that you love dies, or if you get maimed, or something bad happens to you, it's God's will, and it's all in the plan. Okay, listen. When I was in my car accident, and the car was total, and I could have died, I didn't. And that car was destroyed, and I did not like that car. I did not like that car. I bought myself a brand new car because I felt I wanted the experience of having a brand new car. But because I'm not wealthy, I bought a car I didn't like. And about a couple weeks into it, I realized that since I was going to have this car for years, I was not feeling good about it at all. Then I got in the car accident that destroyed the car. Best thing that ever happened. Worst thing, because I almost died, man. Seriously. But I didn't. And the car is gone. And I have a car I like now. Now, that's a variation on the timing being perfect, but that's just one example. Sometimes bad stuff happens, and you don't want to hear anything about it being God's plan, and anyone that says it to you, you want to punch them in the face. So I understand that, and we're going to move on from that point, because I don't like it either. All right, moving on. Number four and the last one. Remember that God will never leave your side. Now, again, For anybody that's an atheist or agnostic, doesn't believe in it, yeah, it's very easy to say that something that's not actually there is always by your side. I happen to personally believe in God and, like, angels and all this type of stuff. And basically it comes from this song, a gospel song that I heard growing up, Never Alone. Matter of fact, this is audio. I can play it. So I think I'll play that. Never Alone. Like, you may feel like you're going through this struggle all alone, but from the moment you ask Jesus to bring you into God's family, he'll be by your side to the end, so never lose hope. It's kind of like that footprints, you know? There's two sets of footprints, and then there was one set of footprints. God, why'd you leave me? Why was I by myself? Because those are your tough times, child. I was carrying you. Boom! You just got sunned by God. Footprints, mother, father. So the scripture comes from Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. Now, that comes down to faith. Like, if you choose to believe, that's a nice message to receive, you know? That you're never alone, that you're going through it with somebody. Honestly, it'd be nice if it was a beautiful person of the opposite, or same, or whatever you like, you know? Be nice if it was a person, but, you know, even if you're alone, there's someone that's there. All right. So that's it, man. Republicans are evil. I don't know. Let me know what you think about this. If you want me to do it again, there's plenty of news to cover. Plenty of stories. Don't forget, everybody, this is LS Rules. If you were to go ahead and be so kind as to leave me a comment, a like, or retweet, any of that stuff, I'd appreciate it. I'm Lamont. This is LS Rules. Peace. I don't have to lie.